Morning, my name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. Thank you so much for listening to us this morning. This morning I'm going to be talking about a subject that some people would say that we shouldn't be talking about, but I'm going to talk about hate. And there's a lot of hate in the world, and we've just got to deal with it. We've got to know about it. We've got to know what it is, why it's there, who it's directed to, and the solution. So in John chapter 15 is where I'm going to be reading first. John chapter 15. Verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not known sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also." So Jesus is talking about hate, and he's talking about hate in the world, and he's talking about what it's going to be like, what it's going to be to deal with it as a follower of him. And he lets us know this, and he says, first of all, the opposite of that is love. He says, love one another. He said, I command you that you love one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we talk about that when we go to church, when we talk about brothers and sisters, we're talking about the followers of Christ because we're supposed to be all the same family. I think sometimes we throw those terms around just because it makes us feel good, and we just call somebody brother or sister, and we don't really truly mean that. We don't feel that. We just say it because that's what we're supposed to say. Some people may say it and don't even realize exactly what they're saying or why they're saying it. But he says, I command you to love one another. As these times that we're going through are getting worse and worse, we need to love one another more and more and show it more and more. Be there, support, all of these things that we need to do for one another. Because he's going to turn around and he's going to talk about what the hate is and why it's there and what we're feeling. And you may look at it right now, and I've preached about this before, that the world hates us, and there is condemnation from the world coming, and it's against Christianity, those that are followers of Christ, and I'm talking about the true followers. I think we saw something just a couple of years ago, some of these things that were done that were absolutely, they were against the church. When they said that the church couldn't open up, but a casino could. If you don't think that's persecution and that's condemnation of the church, then I think you're blind. I think you have blinded yourself, maybe politically or emotionally or spiritually. Whatever it is, you blinded yourself to the reality of what's going on. And maybe you just need to get saved because you don't understand what it is really to be a follower of Christ. You haven't got that in your heart, and you have blinders on because your eyes have not been opened up. This morning I want to tell you that that's the first step, is to accept Christ as your Savior. You have to accept that free gift of salvation that he brought, that cleansing of sin. Repent of your sin and go to him and say, I know I'm a sinner because Adam sinned, and I want to repent of that I've sinned against you, and I want that free gift of salvation. That's the first thing you've got to do. He goes on to verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world has always hated Christ because the god of this world, which is Satan, and he's only god of this world with a little g, because he's allowed that. He can't do anything without permission. Do not ever think that he has full control over this earth. Do not ever think that he is like Christ, that he can do anything that he wants, that he just goes about as he wants to. He can only do what he has been given permission to do. And he cannot be in multiple places at one time. He is not all-powerful. He does not usurp God. He tried that. It hasn't worked. It never will work. But understand this, that he is the god of this world because he's allowed to roam like a roaring lion, the Bible talks about, seeking what he can devour. And he wants to devour those that are followers of Christ, to stop them from what they're doing, to keep them from spreading the gospel of good news, to keep them from letting people know that Jesus is still in the saving business. Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Not tomorrow, forever. We get that wrong when we say tomorrow. No, there's days after that. There's times after that. He is forever, and he's always been, and he always will be. He said, but when they hate you, and there will be hate, he said, they hated me first. You need to know this. Why did he tell us this? I've looked at this, and I think he needed us to know we're not in it alone. We're not in it at the first. He was. They hated him, were his followers, and that's the reason they hate you. I've talked to my children saying sometimes that there are going to be people, and they're not going to like you because they don't like me. I just want you to understand, it's really not toward you, it's toward me. In whatever capacity that I've been feeling, or just maybe it's just because of me, but I want you to understand that. And that's what he's saying. It's because of me. Now, that's not a ringing endorsement of becoming a follower of Christ, but, you know, this world is not that ringing endorsement. This world is not our home. This is not the one that we're working for. And we're working for Jesus because we're saved. And the one that we're working for is beyond. It's that place he told his disciples. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. That's it. It's heaven. It's being with him eternally. And you can debate heaven all you want and say, well, I know where it is, and I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. You can use all your intelligence, all your smarts, as we call it, and tell me, well, it's here or there or whatever. I just know that it's real. It's being with Jesus, and that's where I want to be. And that's where I want you to be. But he said, they hate you, but know this, they hated me first. We are enduring what we endure because we're followers of Christ. What does that let you know? That lets you know, and this following verse is going to let us know even more, that if you're not feeling any hate from this world, there's a reason. There's a reason. If you say, well, I've been a Christian all my life and I've never felt any of that hate, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to read something, and it's going to tell you there is a reason that you don't feel any hate. Because as a follower of Christ, we should feel that hate because we're not of this world. In verse 19, we read it a while ago. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. So if all you get from the world is love, and you say, well, I'm going about doing Jesus' bidding, and nothing's ever happened, I never feel any hate, you got to wonder, and you've got to answer this, are you of this world or are you of Christ? Because you're one of the two, and you can't be both. Jesus himself said you cannot serve two masters. You just can't do it. He said, you'll love one and hate the other, or you'll love the other and hate this one. Doesn't matter. And I've said this before now, and a lot of people say, well, they're straddling the fence. I'm going to tell you, I grew up around fences, and I grew up around barbed wire fences, and straddling the fence isn't so fun anyway. Why don't you get off that fence, get on the right side, and accept Jesus Christ? You know all that fence is going to do? It's going to rip you up, hurt you, and cause you trouble. Why don't you get right and do what you're supposed to? Get off of that fence. Get over there and accept Christ as your Savior. Follow after him. He said, if you're of this world, the world's going to love you. So you got to wonder if the world loves you. If everybody loves you and all this is going good and lost people all love you, something's wrong. Because they're going to hate you if you're not of this world, because you're of him. He said, but because ye are not of the world, because you're not of the world. I'm going to tell you right now, children of God that claim to be, you better not be of this world. We need to quit being of this world. We need to quit trying to pacify and codify this world and quit trying to please the world. We've done this so much that we've created places, our churches that we go into sometimes are not places of worship. They're places of worldly indulgence. Because that's what we're doing. We've indulged the world thinking that's how we're going to win them. We go in sometimes and we don't even hear the word Jesus in there. And I'm telling you, there's no other name whereby you must be saved. That every knee should bow is what the Bible tells us. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. You are going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. One way or another. I'd rather do it voluntarily as He calls me out. And if you feel that calling this morning, that's the Holy Ghost calling you and saying, I want you to have this free gift. I want you to have everything it entails. The peace that goes beyond understanding. That peace that no one can understand because you're not of this world. It's not your home. It's not going down and you're grieving for it. It's going down and you're looking forward to what's coming next. You know, it's just like I've told people before, you know, you watch the news and you hear these things on the news. A lot of times they're very horrendous things that have happened to people. And yes, you feel for them. You've got sympathy for them, but you don't have empathy because you don't know them. And then one day you hear it and you hear a name you know. And now it's empathy because you're hurting. You're hurting and you're hurting for them. You're hurting for those people because you know it. It's personal. You see, this world is not personal to us. Heaven is. And if you're looking at this world and you're thinking, man, this is my home and I want everything to be okay, you need to sit back. You need to think about what you're saying. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and trash everything, so don't go and say I said that. But I'm telling you right now, God made this world, and God is going to rectify this world. He says He's going to purge it by fire. But it's going to hate us. It's going to hate us because of what we stand for. We stand for Jesus the Christ, the Redeemer. He said, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's the reason. That's the reason it hates you. That's the reason that they wanted to close down the churches. That's the reason they said, well, okay, you can go back, but you can't sing. Why? Because singing is a huge part of our worship. It's a huge part. The Bible talks about singing hymns one to another. I'm going to tell you right now, singing is not the worship, as some people think. But it's part of it. A lot of people think that the singing is all the worship and, oh yeah, we got this guy over here who's going to get up and talk. That's not what it's about. It's about the Word of God. It's how people get saved, is preaching. That's what the Bible tells us. They hear preaching and then the Holy Spirit draws them and they get saved. He said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. He said, they will. He said, didn't say they might persecute you. They might do it. It could happen. You know, if all the stars align and all these things happen. No, he said, they will. They will persecute you. What does that mean? They will come against you. They will cause you hurt. They will cause you harm. That's what he's talking about. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. He said, they don't know my word. Folks, we got to get out there. This world hates us, but we got to continue on. We got to continue to take the message out there to the people that hate us. Because Jesus did the very same thing. And he said, if they know your word, they'll keep it. Because you're keeping mine. So when you tell them something, they'll go, okay. Yeah. Because they know that you're keeping his. He said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Isn't that crazy? They're hating you. They're doing these things that will persecute you for the name of Jesus. See, we will go out and we will talk to people for the sake of Jesus. We will do the right things for the sake of Jesus, but there's an opposite. They will do bad things for the name of Jesus because they don't want that. The evil one does not want the gospel to be spread. He doesn't want it to be spread. He doesn't want anybody to see it. He doesn't want anybody to know it. Over in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Look at that. You shall be hated for my name's sake. You shall be hated. Well, I'm going to tell you again, that's not just a great resume thing right there, is it? It's not a good thing to say, hey, you're going to be hated, so won't you become a Christian? No, see, we've got to look beyond that. We got to know that we've got to endure stuff. I kind of think of it like this. When I was in high school after football, we'd start going into a weight program. Start building up. We wanted to build our muscles up. And we'd go in there, and that first day that we would lift weights, you'd go in there, man, you'd just give it everything you got, you know, and you'd put it to it, you know. And the next day, it was like, even though I was young, I was so sore I could barely move. But as I kept working it out, there was something that was happening. My muscles were building up. I was getting stronger. The soreness was less. Folks, that's what we got to do. We got to build. We got to keep working. And it may be a little bit painful now, and maybe we try something new and it's a little bit painful, but we got to continue on knowing that there's something greater than this old world. And you look around, and I want to ask you a serious question. As you look around and you see this old world, is that really what you want to inherit? Can you look around and go, hey, yeah, this is great. This is exactly what I want. I don't think anybody can. As a child of God, we ought to look around and go, you know what? It's happening just like he said. Just like he said. I'm going to tell you something right now, that the things are falling in place for Jesus to come back for his own and then come back and establish himself upon this earth. And those are two different things. But it's all falling in place, and we can see it, and we ought to be able to read the signs. And Jesus said, you can see the times. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know. It may be another 1,000 years. I don't think so, but that's just me saying that. It's not spelled out to where I can just look at it and go, now this is this, but I can look at things. And I can see ever since the nation of Israel became a nation again in 1948, that last piece has been in there, and it can start any time. Jesus is waiting for that one last soul to be saved. I don't know when that'll be. I don't know who it'll be. I don't know what setting it will be. I don't know if I'll still be alive here. I don't know what this world is coming to. I don't know what our nation is coming to. I look around, I see things, and I think, boy, this is going to get bad. We're starting to see food stocks not on the shelves anymore. Things that we depended upon. I thought it was really bad when I couldn't find dog food on the shelf. But now I'm looking, and there's a food for humans. Us. Not on a shelf. And our government's saying, oh, well, it's someone else's fault. You can't depend upon the government, but you can depend upon Jesus. He will provide. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sustenance. Place to live. We've got to seek him first. Primarily. Always about him. When are we going to get to that point where we will turn back to him? I don't know. I've seen things happen in our nation, and I thought, okay, this maybe. You know, I've heard people say, yes, we're going to have a great revival now because people are going to turn back to Jesus. But instead, it's had an opposite effect. All through what we've gone through with what they called a pandemic, I saw people turning away from God instead of turning to him. I saw people turning to people telling them something different every single night and believing everything they said and not believing the Word of God. It was an amazing thing to me, and it was a scary thing to me, but I kept seeing that, and I keep seeing it, and I don't see it changing right now. Even people that said that they were his children, people that were said they were relying upon him, turned away from him when they got an opportunity. And have stayed away from him. It's called divisions in everything. There's huge division in our country. It's not just political. It's emotionally. It's mentally. Spiritually. We are so divided. And I see these things, and I preached not long ago about as in the day of Noah. Another thing we see is people don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. They want to have a message that touches their ears a little bit and makes them feel good in their heart. They don't truly want to hear the Word of God. He says, all these things they're going to do in my name's sake against you. Folks, we got to understand what's coming. We got to understand so that we know when it hits us what's going on. Peter described it as fiery darts. when they start doing these things, you know, and it comes against us. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the whole armor of God. There's a reason we got to have that. We're not the only ones that have dealt with this. We've been dealing with this from day one. And we're still dealing with it. And it's going to get worse and worse. The Bible talks about perilous times shall come. Well, they're here. It talks about judgment of nations. We want to ignore those signs as well. We don't want to look over to Isaiah and said that when a nation is ruled by women and children, that's a sign that judgment has called upon them. Look around, folks, and tell me who's ruling our world. Look around, tell me who's committing the crimes right now. It's children. Look around and see who we're ruled by. You say, I don't like that. Well, I don't care. The Bible says it. You can not like it if you want. You'll agree with it one day. But right now, you can accept Jesus Christ. You can accept Him as your Savior and say, I know what I'm in for. But I still want that free gift. Verse 22, he said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. He said they wouldn't know what's going on. But they do now. I'm telling you right now this morning, if you've listened to the sound of my voice, you know right now. You can't say, well, I never knew. Why didn't anybody tell me? I'm telling you right now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all. Everyone. That means you. That means me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible tells us time and time again that we don't measure up to God. Because of the sin of Adam, Romans tells us that one man brought sin into the world. But by one man that sin debt was paid, and that man was Jesus Christ. All sin had come short of the glory of God, because that the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God, oh praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One way. Don't buy into this, oh there's many ways into heaven. Jesus said there's one way. There's one way, one truth, one life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Always has been, always will be. Don't let anybody confuse you and tell you, oh, he was just a good man. Put something on last week, and it was about Jesus, and I had somebody reply, Jesus is a fictional character. Well, you're the biggest idiot that ever walked the face of the earth. There's physical evidence, there's historical evidence that Jesus is real. We have it right here. You can say that all you want, but it doesn't change the fact. You can say any historical person is, they weren't real because you didn't see them, but there's evidence that they're real. Lee Strobel wrote a book on it and said, it's real. He's real. But I look at that and I go, hey, I hit a nerve. This got to somebody. Thank you, Lord, for taking your word out there and doing what you would have with it. Because he said, my word will not return to me void. When I read these scriptures, I'm telling you what, they're reaching out there through the radio waves, through the internet waves, and everything that they've got that it can be used for, and God uses that. Thank God for it. I may not see it. I may not know it. I may not know your name that you're listening to it right now, but God does. And He knows everything about you. He said, now they have no cloak for their sin. You've heard it. You've heard the truth. You have no cloak. That means you can't cover it up anymore. You can't hide it anymore. You can't do anything like that because it's there. You've got to deal with it. You've got to make a decision this morning. I told you the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen for that. And just in case you're wondering who can really be saved, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you right now, you do it and the world's going to hate you. It's just a fact. But it's a good feeling. Because along with that hate from the world, you got a peace from God. It goes beyond understanding that nobody can get. You got brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm talking about the true followers of Christ that are going to be brothers and sisters to you. They're going to be family to you. They're going to lift you up instead of trying to push you down. They're going to pull you along instead of trying to leave you. I've seen too many churches and they like to kick their wounded when they're down. I've come to figure it out. I know what they're doing. They're not where they need to be and they want to stomp you until you're a lot lower than them. And that makes them feel like they're where they need to be. But they never are. But a true child of God won't do that to you. A true child of God will lift you up. And then you'll be able to lift them up when they are down. He said, there is no cloak for their sin anymore. There's no hiding it. Adam and Eve tried to hide their sin from God, but they couldn't do it. They knew what he said. They knew what they did. They knew that they had done the opposite of what he said. Adam had done the wrong thing. He'd condemned the world to sin. World changed physically, spiritually. Evil came into the world. Hate came into the world. We're seeing it right now. Verse 23. He said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Jesus came in his earthly form here as God. He referred to himself because he is God. He said, they hate God. That's what they hate. Folks, that's like the Ten Commandments. They don't mind the part that said you shouldn't steal and kill. They don't like the part about thou shalt have no other God before me. And all those that deal with him, that's the problem. That's what they want to get rid of. There's where the hate comes in. It's a hate for God. They may come against you. They may call you names. They may do things against you. They may whisper behind your back and say things, because most of them will not come to your face. Some of them will. But still, it's all about their hate for Jesus. There's something about that name, isn't it? You can go out and you can say, well, I love God and God's that tree and everybody's okay with it. But you, when you say, I love God and Jesus is my God, they got a problem with you. Big problem. Some of our leaders have covered the name of Jesus up and said, well, we can't do that. We don't want to offend anybody. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm blood bought, blood paid for, truly redeemed, born again, child of God. And if you hate me because of that, it's because you hate the Lord. You hate Jesus. You hate God. You don't want him in your life. You want to get rid of everybody that even talks about him. Why is that? Why is it that an atheist hates God? How can he hate someone he doesn't believe exists? It's because he knows there is a God. He just doesn't want there to be a God. Think about that. Do you know there's a God? Do you know his name's Jesus? Do you know that he died upon a cross, cruel death for your sin? Defeated death so that you could have eternal life. Paid your sin debt. The debt that was owed by you, he paid it. Not because you are a good person, not because you're a great person, not because you give a lot of money, not because you're good looking or bad looking or got hair or don't have hair or have a belly, don't have a belly, got a big bank account, don't have a penny to your name. He died because he loves you. That's it. The opposite of the hate that the world has for us. Love. And he told us to love one another. He died because he loves you and he wants you to have eternal life. And this morning I want you to have that too. I want to tell you about it. Won't you turn it to the Lord and go, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know you paid my sin debt, and I want to accept that payment. But I want to be a follower of yours, because over in John chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, continue in my word. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, indeed my students. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Folks, once we get saved, it's not we got our fire insurance and we're good to go. That's a life commitment. It's repentance. It's turning your life over and giving it all to Him. Won't you do that this morning? And if you did, I want you to comment to us. If you're listening to me on the internet, share it in all ways you can. Let's get the message out there. If you don't go and tell people about Jesus, we'll share this message so that they know about it. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for letting me be with you.